Long before summer blockbuster films tried to dazzle with CGI-enhanced superheroes and villains, audiences could get visual gratification at the Opera House, with opulently costumed singers strolling through lavish sets. Tonight, operatic excess and computer-generated imagery meet on an Ohio stage as the Cleveland Orchestra reanimates a classic story from member station WCPN. David C. Barnett reports.
Czech composer Leos Janáček wrote The Cunning Little Vixen in 1924. The opera tells the story of the title character's capture by a woodsman who wants to domesticate her. In the opening scene, the vixen spots something she's never seen before, a frog, and she asks, "What is that?" Director Yuval Sharon says he can relate.
I think that's kind of how I responded to opera when I was a kid, is what is that weird thing, you know? But sometimes fascination is the best entry point.
Sharon tries to create fascination in his production of The Cunning Little Vixen by having the bodies of the fox, the frog, a mosquito, and other creatures animated on three giant video screens. The singing comes from actual human beings in animal masks who stick their heads through portals in one of the screens at various times from backstage. Sharon says the production design came to him from a childhood summer memory.
A cardboard cutout that you see at the beach where you stick your head through, it looks like your body has become like a muscle guy's body or this woman in a bikini's body. And I mean, everyone takes delight in that. I thought, well, that could be the kernel of a really interesting theatrical experience.
For example, at the beginning of Act Two, an animated badger lumbers onto the screen and pauses at a precise location. The performer sticks his head through the screen and starts arguing with the vixen. After this testy exchange, the performer withdraws and the animated badger slinks off into the woods. This allows for cinematic scene changes. Cleveland Orchestra music director Franz Welser-Möst says that this technique addresses a problem he's long had with Janáček's 80-year-old opera.
Every time I have seen a production of this piece, it's a little strange because you have human beings trying to behave like animals, and it's always close to ridiculous.
The visuals were produced by a Los Angeles animation studio. Opera has long embraced the technology of its day, says David Bamberger, who directs the opera program at the Cleveland Institute of Music.
In the 17th century and the 18th century, the stages were very, very well equipped with mechanical devices so that the gods could descend from the clouds and you could have a very dramatic storm effect or sinking ships or whatever.
In Mozart's The Magic Flute, the lead character endures trials by fire and water.
When I was at the New York City Opera, we had an old German production manager who was very experienced in all forms of theater, and I said to him, "Hans, in Mozart's day, how did they do fire and water?" Which we were doing it with lighting effects, and he turned to me and said, "They used fire und Water," which is one of the reasons that old theaters burn down most of the time.
For over 25 years, composer Todd Machover has experimented with contemporary technology, developed at the MIT Media Lab. His most recent opera, Death and the Powers, tells the story of a man who wants to live forever and downloads himself into a computer consciousness known as the System. Machover says he's looking to do flat animated graphics one better by actually animating furniture and the stage itself to move in reaction to the performers.
could we make a stage where the entire stage becomes an actor? Actually, the set moves like characters, and the physical objects come alive through technology and tell the story. So that's one thing we're working on.
It's expensive to produce opera, and the costs of mounting productions have put many local companies out of business. At the same time, opera directors are tasked with attracting new audiences more accustomed to entertainment on screens, big and small. For director Yuval Sharon, the secret goes back to understanding how he felt as a kid, new to opera, all those years ago.
You know, the reason I still always carry that 13-year-old with me is just thinking, is there a doorway for that 13-year-old? Or is the door too tall? Will that 13-year-old be able to reach the handle? It's not dumbing it down. It's not making it more accessible. It's just realizing what's in the piece that can speak to as many different people as possible.
His new doorway opens tonight. For NPR News, I'm David C. Barnett in Cleveland.